Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. How are you doing?
Very well, Andrew. How are you? You look very happy.
Okay, cool. Thanks. Is it because of Trump's new Fed choice? So yeah,
Happy
so that's
that.
actually a good timestamp, which is yes, it's 2 p.m. London time on Friday, January 30th. And yes, so the President Trump just announced the new Fed chair that he will be nominating as Kevin Warsh. So let's kind of dive right in on that. Obviously, any data, I guess we have PPI, and anything else interesting. Obviously, this was a big dominant stuff, but it was a quite busy week. Yeah, so what were the things that particularly stood out for you?
So let's start with the Warsh nomination. I think the market is getting a bit ahead of its skis because the reality is we don't know, whether he's that dovish or hawkish. Used to be hawkish, turned dovish, but the reality is once he gets confirmed and in the job, he will largely be beyond the reach of President Trump, especially, as the Supreme Court is likely to strike down the dismissal of Governor Cook. And if Chair Powell decides to stay on as governor, Trump won't have a new seat on the board. I mean, he will have Governor Miran, and that's it. And so it's unclear that we will end up with someone very dovish, especially since his term will end when you will have a new president, right, in 2030. So it's a bit unclear. And also the Fed is a formidable institution. Look at Governor Miran when he got appointed. He started with a big descent. I think his September dot was 75 basis points below the median. And in December, it was just 25 basis points. And to be fair, 25 basis points is within the margin of error because monetary policy is not a science, it's an art. And there is a case at each meeting to be 25 basis point below or above the median. So to me, it's unclear that we will have someone who will try to run the economy hot. And I would add that it's also unclear that he will get confirmed. I mean, remember Larry Summers in 2013? Everybody thought he was a shoo-in, and then it didn't happen. And this time around, Senator Stilis has just said on Bloomberg TV that he wasn't going to budge until the lawsuit against Chair Powell was dropped. He would block any Fed nomination, and he said the Fed could function very well with an acting chair. So there is that. And
Right.
also for the Fed, they are going to be completely oblivious of this process and focus on the mandate, stable inflation with maximum employment. So I think it's a lot of, there is a bit of noise in that story.
Right. So in kind of a summary, this announcement, you don't really see in the net in the short term this being a big impact on the market because there's a whole bunch of variables, including him even just getting nominated. And then the other thing is we're not 100% sure. He's been kind of mixed. He has been hawkish in the past. He's maybe been slightly more dovish recently, but once he gets nominated and appointed and starts there, there's enough guardrails there to protect him, like we saw with the current Fed chairman, which Trump had
100%.
chosen. Yeah.
100%.
Well,
And my suspicion is that once Warsh is in the job, he will think about his historical legacy. Who
yeah.
wants to go down in history as the Arthur Burns of modern times. So I don't buy the super dovish or dovish beyond economic rationale story. I don't buy it.
And okay. And then what about this? What's your delta on Powell and Lisa Cook staying on? I mean, obviously we have a lot of time, and there's, like we said, there's some variables there too, but
So Lisa Cook, I think the
and I think this
consensus
morning
is
when I
Supreme
got
Court
the
will
Supreme Court
strike down
inquiry
her
on the Hong Kong
dismissal. I agree.
or is this
With
all still
Chair Powell, I am 50-50. I think he's going to watch how the whole process evolves. One possible scenario is the Justice Department drops the lawsuit. Then Senator Tillis removes his block.
1% of the bill will go to
He
one
votes for Walsh because Walsh is going to do the rounds with the senators and convince them that he will be an independent chairperson, a good steward for the Fed. And then if that happens, Chair Powell could happily retire. If that doesn't happen,
Well,
if
you're not going to hold
the lawsuit is still on,
against her, though. It's
I'm not sure he can go. He certainly doesn't want to give the impression of a quid pro quo, dropping the lawsuit against him
gotcha.
going.
Right.
Also, I believe Chair Powell has a very strong sense of public service. So if he feels the independence of the Fed is under attack, he may decide to stay on for a while longer, not necessarily until the end of his mandate as governor.
Okay, great. And then anything else that particularly stood out for you this past week?
I mean, the Fed, and I think
Yeah.
the Fed had a message which is going to be really difficult to get across. And the message was growth is picking up, but the Fed is not turning hawkish. That was very clear. And that's because the degree of slack in the economy, so the unemployment rate, most important, labor market's the most important. This is a services-driven economy. The degree of slack in the economy did not really go down. So that's why the Fed did not become more hawkish despite the stronger growth outlook. And I think, yeah.
Why do you think that, considering, all this talk of labor supply being taken out
Well,
from the market?
but I think what is going on is that labor supply is increasing because we have a pickup in growth, so we probably have a pickup in labor demand, but no change in the unemployment rate. So that means we have a pickup in labor supply, and all that would explain a lot of things. Why, for instance, people feel miserable in the consumer survey, but if you look at the aggregate data on spending, it's actually robust, and it's because this data is additive, right? It's if there are more people spending, spending goes up, consumption goes up. But the surveys, by contrast, they ask people individually how they feel about the economy. So just by having more people in the economy working and consuming, it's going to lift the headline growth rate. But it's not necessarily going to change the balance between demand and supply. And if you look at the, especially demand and supply of labor, and if you look at the data, it is ambiguous, which is what Powell said during the presser.
But couldn't one other reason be inflation? So if people are saying they're unhappy, but yet the demands to, you're saying more is getting produced. Well, if it's a nominal amount, then nominally inflation went up. So nominally the number went bigger, and nominally and high inflation we've already determined is a good rationale to explain why consumer sentiment is low.
It's more the real income. If people's income had adjusted by as much as inflation, they wouldn't be feeling so bad. But the thing is, wage growth is slowing, which is another sign that the balance between demand and supply in the labor market is not that great. I mean, if demand was growing in
Okay.
excess of supply, we would have faster wage growth and lower unemployment, but that's not what we are seeing. So for the Fed, it's going to be, first of all, it's tricky because they don't really know which way the balance between demand and supply is going. And then explaining to people that, if they decide to cut, even though growth picks up, and I think it would make sense to cut because if you look at inflation, it's slowing, and that's why what Powell said. It's going to people are going to say that the Fed is overly dovish, but it's not because what is driving inflation is not headline growth or headline employment growth. It's a balance between demand and supply, and it's really hard to figure out where it's going right now. I mean, you look at the unemployment rate; it's stable. It's higher than it was, but low by historical standards. But you look at measures. Like this week in the consumer confidence survey, the one from the conference board, the labor differential, job plentiful minus hard to find, it really fell to a new low. Or you look at the University of Michigan consumer survey, the question on do you expect higher unemployment a year from now? The answer to that question is at levels consistent with recession. So that's what Powell said. The data is a bit mixed, and the Fed is in a wait and see mode, basically.
Okay, cool. Any other big takeaways for last week?
I mean, these were the main one. Yeah, we had a bit of a higher PPI print this morning, but Chair Powell already told us that the Fed thinks core PCE for December is going to be 3%. So they've probably figured out the PPI, and this is not news for them. And again, if you look at the details of the data, you can see clearly that the tariff is not spreading. Tariff inflation is limited, and as Chair Powell said, this is because the actual tariff rate was much lower than announced tariff rate, something I've been saying for the past 6 months.
True.
And you look at housing inflation, it's really slowing quite dramatically, actually. You look at market rent inflation is diving, rental vacancies are up. The one part of the PC that's a bit of a laggard, it's core services excluding housing. But even then, it's going down. And Powell said every category of services is deflating. It's not disinflating, not deflating. It's taking a little bit of time. That's all.
Okay, cool. I'm just seeing how, yeah, I mean, today we're just seeing, I guess, a little bit of steepening, but not a huge impact from once this announcement, although I guess it was telegraphed yesterday. Does that make sense to you? Dollar rallying a little bit,
Dollar rallying? Well, I'm not sure how much of that is driven by the wash news. I mean, the steepening is consistent with this view that is going to be dovish. It's consistent with the consensus, I guess, but I'm not consensus on that story.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. And going ahead, so the week ahead.
Ah, the week ahead, my favorite data print of the month, we get the payroll. And there again, I mean, there is a pickup with unchanged unemployment, so pickup in payroll, which really makes me think that labor supply constraints have eased. I don't know whether it's by design or just because it doesn't have the capability, but it's likely that immigration enforcement has, decreased a little bit starting last quarter, which would make sense because the tough immigration policies we saw in Q2 and Q3 didn't bring about the results the administration was expecting. They thought it would lift wages if there were fewer people in the looking for a job in the US. And that's the opposite of what happened. Wage growth slowed a great deal. And against that, you had the increase in inflation caused by the tariff. So things didn't go according to plan. And it would make sense that while there are high visibility enforcement operation going on in some states, in reality, across the US, perhaps fewer people are being deported. And that's why we are seeing this recovery in NFP and so in growth.
So generally, so your view of payrolls, do you have a target? What do you think?
I'm happy with the consensus, which I think is in the 70s, but for the
Yeah.
short-term forecast, Sam has this fantastic model with a very strong track record, and we will be publishing it this week,
Yeah, I know.
before the release.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking before this. So Citi Economic Surprise Index for the US has been going up a lot like the last couple of weeks. But it's interesting, I guess. So your call is still for 2 to 3 cuts this year. I mean, obviously there's so many variables can come up
Yeah,
there, but
two reasons. Reason number one.
sliding doors. Yeah.
Two reasons. Number one, I think the Phillips curve is very flat. I wrote about this. It reflects the fact that workers have limited bargaining power. We saw this third quarter, the share of workers' income in GDP fell to the lowest level since World War II. Exactly the opposite of what the administration
Yeah,
did, by
exactly.
the way. So,
Okay for Wall Street and great for Main Street hasn't totally played out so far.
it's exactly the opposite. So that makes for a very flat Phillips curve when people don't have the bargaining power to claim a bigger share of income. And then I think the residual risk, with unemployment are still there. So I stick to my three cuts call.
Okay, fantastic. Anything else? Any other
Well, I mean, we will have some speakers, Fed speakers next week. So this morning we have Moussa Alem, who is one of the economic nerds on the FOMC, the other one being Paulson, the Philly Fed president. And given how complex the economic situation is now, I'm really going to pay even more attention than usual. And then next week we have the two of the hawks, so Hammack and Logan will be talking. I disagree with them, but I think it's always interesting to hear what people you disagree with have to say. And then, of course, I'm waiting for Waller to publish his dissent. So the consensus is that the dissent was job motivated. I disagree. I think there is a strong case to be made that actually inflation could undershoot over the next few
Yeah.
years because wage growth is not keeping up with the productivity increase that we have seen. So really eager to see what Governor Waller has to say.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I like that that's like the core part of your thesis. And that is definitely, I would say, non-consensus, but so far has been playing out. I mean, if the amount of people that have been taken out of the worker supply over the past 10 months and the fact that that hasn't resulted in inflation and obviously tariffs as well, is a surprise. Or sorry, hasn't resulted in higher wages, or significantly higher wages. Okay, that's great. So all right, hope everyone really enjoyed it. And again, just to reiterate, people know for our professional clients, we've also now launched this kind of global markets kind of sales and trading business, which for professional clients, we'd love to engage you with. Please either email me or you can hit me up on Bloomberg. Would love to discuss it further and really talk about how I think we're really different and what our unique advantages really are. And the feedback has honestly been amazing so far in getting everything going. Our business is called Macro Markets. And on that, I want to wish everyone happy, successful trading, because you should have both. And an awesome weekend. And as we always say, particularly you, any great feedback, good or bad, please shoot it over. Our goal is really to produce the best possible product for our clients, and make sure that it's truly added value. With that, any parting words?
No, 100% on the feedback, and just
I
good
think
luck,
that's your words.
everybody.